Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Okay, Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin at verse 7. And the next service is until what time is the next one till? I got plenty of time. Here we go. I ain't playing. Amen. Somebody said preach. It's only one person that says preach. It was like, oh, please, hurry. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. We'll get right into the text here. Thank you. You can come back up. That's a good sign. I'm supposed to end, so we know that the time that is. Verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Jesus speaking. Seek, and you will. Oh, it's on the screen. Yeah, there it is. It says, and knock, and it will be. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who finds, the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if he asks for gluten-free bread, come on, will God give him Wonder Bread? If you've eaten that recently, you will not ever digest that stuff, I'm telling you right now. Verse 10, or if he asks, it's true. I'm not, it's true, trust me, it's true. Or if you ask for Chick-fil-A, we'll give him Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is not chicken, it's something else. Unless you own it and you tithe, then we'll go there. If you then, God help me. Oh, I hate being so funny. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts. What kind of gifts? Come on, somebody, what kind of gifts? Say it loud, what kind of gifts? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God gives good gifts. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, what kind of gifts do you give? Just tell him that. No, don't tell him that. If God knows how to give good gifts, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, come on, will your Father who is in heaven, come on, give what kind of things? What kind of things? One more time, what kind of things? Good thanks to those who ask him. I want to just talk to you very shortly on the context and the message and the subject and the topic, the perfect father. The perfect father. You know, I don't know about you, but I really did have a good father growing up. He was actually my stepdad, but raised me all my life, and so he is really my father. One of the things my father back in the day taught me to do, he taught me how to golf. My dad was an entrepreneur, so he didn't really have to go into the office. And so being an entrepreneur, a.k.a. bookie, barner, drinker, smoker, and gambler, he was a bookie. So that's an entrepreneur. I'm just telling you. I know it might be illegal, but, you know, hey, it's still an entrepreneur. And on a side note, a lot of people that are doing illegal things, and listen, when they get saved, there's going to be a redemptive gift in their life. And what they were doing illegally, come on, when they get saved, that gift's going to be redeemed, and they could be entrepreneurs, and he or she can make a big difference in the world today. Needless to say, my dad was a bookie taking bets and making lots of money. I used to help my dad count $100 bills like they were $1 bills and wrap them up in $10,000 bundles. So it's just kind of you know, how I kind of grew up for a while is he's training me to become an entrepreneur. And so one of the things is he golfed a lot. My dad actually was a scratch golfer because he was an entrepreneur. And so I remember one day being a young guy, probably about 10 years of age maybe, and my dad said, hey, this is the day I'm going to let you drive the golf cart. Come on, there's nothing like, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, anybody golfers here? Anybody golfers? Anybody know what golf is? Can I see your hand? Okay, fantastic. So there's something fun about driving a golf cart. Even today when I go golfing, you know, I usually like to be the driver because there's something just fun about driving. And when you drive a golf cart, there is really no stop signs. There is no guy with a radar gun. Like I got pulled over 2 weeks ago. Yes, and I was guilty, and I tried to do the pastor thing. I'm rushing to get to church. I'm late. Didn't work. He just made me later as he wrote me the ticket. And it's fun because it's just like you're almost like driving a car, and you don't need a driver's license. And so my dad said, there you go. And I don't know what it is, maybe where I kind of grew up for a time. And all of a sudden I get into that driver's seat, and I just start just sliding down in the seat like that. And all of a sudden I felt the golf cart lowering to the ground a little bit, you know, and then War, Lowrider came on. But anyway, that's another song. And I just start driving like this, and I'm looking like there's no side view, you know, there's no windows, you know, but I'm just like that, not knowing that my dad told me before. He said, listen, you got to watch where you're going. Yeah, whatever, Dad. And as I'm driving down the fairway, I did not know that my dad was approximately, I don't know, about 20 yards in front of me, and I did not know that until I ran over him. That's a true story. I ran over him, and he let out some words. And I just want to tell you how good my father is that I'm still alive today preaching, okay? Because he should have taken me out, right? And I could tell stories of my dad, funny stories and not so funny stories. We all have probably stories about our fathers. Now, some of you, maybe you had some great dads. I mean, they were amazing dads, and they were there for you, went to your football game, basketball game. They went to, you know, whatever you were doing. They were great. Some of you had horrible dads, or maybe you didn't have a dad in your life. In fact, it is told us by sociologists that most of the issues we're facing today, especially in the inner city where I grew up, is in the inner city is there's a lack of fathers. Okay, and the church should be the one that is the spearhead of that to raise up, come on, strong men, strong leaders in the home. Come on, to be great dads and great husbands. Can I hear an amen? I mean, it's just true, right? Because you have to understand it all begins, and this is not a bad thing, you know, but man, we have to step up and be who God has called us to be, right? And so we have to understand that, right? And so somebody said, well, I don't really have a good father figure. Well, I want to talk to you about the perfect father. He's the Heavenly Father. And the reason why I say that is because the Heavenly Father is the perfect father. He's not a better version of your father. He's not a bigger version of your earthly father. Come on, he's a perfect version of your earthly father. Now, the reason why this is important is because when Jesus came on the planet, he revealed to us God the Father. It wasn't just God. It wasn't Yahweh. It wasn't Elohim. It wasn't the God above all gods. It wasn't the great I am. I am that I am. That's great. I get that. But he always referred to God as Father. Now, why is that significant? Because you need to understand that a father is a protector, a provider. He's a guider. He's the one that has influence in your life. And so what Jesus came to do was to reveal a Heavenly Father. Now, a person's perception or understanding of the nature of God will determine their level of faith in his ability or desire to help them. So I want to read this because I wrote it and I think it's important. If, for example, you believe God to be a father who is distant, stern, and harsh, you will hold back from asking him for anything, asking for anything from him. If you know him as he is, help me out, loving, kind, gentle, giving, generous, just, and liberal Father, then you would not hesitate to ask from him, come on, all that you need. He is your Heavenly Father. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Why did they ask Jesus? Because they saw, you know, Jesus praying. If I had one thing to ask Jesus, I said, Jesus, teach me how to multiply bread. I buy one loaf, I'm set for life. I just keep multiplying that bad boy. I mean, teach me how to walk on water. Teach me miracles. Teach me how to do all that. But watch, they said, teach us how to pray, because out of prayer, everything else flows. Out of intimacy, come on, everything else flows. I'm feeling something already. Because out of that flows. And what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? Come on, all you former Catholics. What does Jesus say? He says, pray like this. Come on. No, no, no. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. No, I'm not talking about that one. Blessed are thou, most women, blessed women, Jesus. Holy Mother, Mother, God, pray for us in the hour of death. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about what? Our Father who, hallowed be. But what did he say? He says, before you say, our Father. That was revolutionary. Understand to the Jewish mindset for the disciple to hear that God is a father. It was foreign to them. You have to understand that this is groundbreaking, that this is earth-shattering, that this is religion-busting, that this is something that Jesus is trying to now get through, that we have a father, our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Listen to me, that you have a heavenly Father. When you got born again, you didn't get born again into an organization, an institution. You got born again into a family. Come on, help me preach this into a family, which means you have brothers and you have sisters. Or in my culture, you have brothers and sisters. Are you hearing me? You got to hear me. Now, if you have a brother and a sister, that means you have a heavenly Father. We're not called to pray to saints. We're not called to pray to Mary. We're not called to pray to Benny. We're not called to pray to a statue. We have a heavenly Father that we can pray to. And I feel something stirring in here because you need to hear me that you have a Father. And so Jesus begins to teach us about the Father. One disciple said, Jesus, show us the Father. You know what Jesus said? If you've seen me, you've seen the... Whatever I do because the Father tells me to do. Over and over and over again, Jesus is emphasizing the Father, the perfect Father, your heavenly Father. That's significant. Well, I didn't have a father. I get it. Well, my dad wasn't that good. I get it. But listen, your dad could be in the home, but not present. You can get lost in success. And I want to just drop a word for some man right now. And I'm glad you make millions of dollars. And I'm glad that you provide. And I'm glad that God has given you the ability to make wealth. But please do not do that at the expense of your children. It's a good place to clap right now. I had a guy get into my face. This is a real friend. And he says, listen, Benny, your kids don't care what platforms you preach on. I preach at all of them. I preach at some of the greatest platforms. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. Because he needed a Hispanic guy. We got white guys. We got black guys. Where's the Hispanic? Oh, Benny's been around long enough. Invite him. I noticed you didn't have an Hispanic at Last in Power. I'm just saying, but I will change that. Well, change it. You had the black guy. Yeah, white guy. Don't forget caramel now. Are you hearing me? I have investments. God has blessed me. I have investments for my children. I've opened up investment accounts for my kids. My 10-year-old's got more money than a lot of people have right now. He don't know it yet. I'm not telling him. Right. But the guy got in my face. He said, they don't want the things you're providing. They want you. It changed my life. I started taking vacation. I bought timeshares because I hate not to get my money's worth. So I couldn't skip the timeshare because I already paid for it. Are you hearing me? I'm here to tell you. See, I don't know why I'm going to emphasize this, but you need to hear me. Listen to me, sir. Be successful, but you need to have time with your kids. You need to have time with your wife. You need to have time with your family. Somebody clap your hands because I'm trying to help somebody right now. So Jesus begins to talk to us about a Father, a heavenly Father. In the text we read, in the context of prayer, he's dealing in the context of prayer. He's dealing with his disciples, and he's saying, listen, this is how you pray. This is the way you approach God. And Jesus now compares, watch, earthly fathers with the heavenly Father. He says this, if your earthly fathers being evil, give good gifts to their children, how much more will your heavenly Father? So it's a rabbinic style of teaching, and the rabbinic style of teaching is rests on this principle. If the lesser is true, the greater must be true. Let me say it this way. If the lesser be true, the greater must be true. What do you mean by that? If earthly fathers give good gifts and they're being evil compared to the heavenly Father, how much more will the greater give good gifts? Come on, if the lesser is true, come on, somebody, the greater is true, right? So what he's trying to say is, watch, that your earthly fathers are good, but your, write this down, your heavenly father is good. Let me say it to you this way, that's your God. Come on, our God is good. Psalm 25 says, good and upright, come on, is the Lord. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We got to set in our hearts, come on, that God is good. But it's hard to receive that. It's hard to receive that our Heavenly Father is good because of religion, because of relationships, because of circumstances. So this is what we've been taught, if we're not careful. Well, God is good, my Heavenly Father is good if life is good. And if life is bad, then my Heavenly Father is bad. That God is punishing you, that God is doing something to you, that God is getting back at you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Listen to me. No. God is good whether life is good or bad. I do not compare the eternal, watch me, to the temporal. Because you like me today, but you may not like me next week. People are fickle. If you're basing your life on the opinions of people, you'll be up, down, all around. Watch. Yeah, you all like me now until I say something you don't like. Like some of you are still mad at me because you still eat KFC chicken. It's all good. God, give them revelation. Amen. You keep eating that stuff. We want to have to embalm you when you die. In fact, we'll open up your grave 100 years from now. You're going to look the same. KFC, it works. Are you hearing me? You can't base, watch me, what people think about you. You can't do that. You listen to me. Life sometimes will be challenging. Can I get an amen? But life, watch me, does not tell me the character of my Heavenly Father. God is good no matter when life is bad or it's challenging, because you have to understand something. If you believe, God, I feel this. If you got to believe that your Heavenly Father is good in the bad times, because it's the goodness of God that will bring you out of that valley, that will bring you out of that bad time, will bring you out of that challenge, because God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to His purpose. If you believe it, give God a 5-second praise break right now. I believe God is good when life is bad. I believe God is good when life is good. I believe God is good when my kids are good. I believe God is good when my kids aren't good. I believe God is good. My Heavenly Father is good when my wife is good and when my wife is gooder. I'm a smart man. It's amazing because you just talk to people. Just talk to people, people that don't know Jesus. And it's amazing that people equate God with their challenges. I don't get it. I mean, side note here. God will never put sickness on you to teach you anything. I don't know. That thing is demonic and that thing is evil. Can I tell you to you this way? God will never put on you that He put on His Son. He put sickness on His Son. He's not going to put it on you. His Son took poverty. He's not going to put it on you. His Son took depression. He's not going to put it on you. Whatever He put on Jesus, come on, He put it on Jesus to get it off of you. We're still in a power conference. We're still in a power conference. I don't know about Central, I don't know about South, but this campus, we're still in Empower Conference this morning. Somebody say, God is good. My father-in-law, before he passed on and went on to be with Jesus, he lived with me and my wife for the last 4 to 6 months of his life in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he was battling things, and he was a man of faith, and he stood in faith. And I remember him looking at me saying, remember this. I learned this from Earl Roberts. I said, okay, this is going to be a deep revy. It's going to be a deep revelation. It's going to be, man, I better write this thing down. And he says, here you go. You ready? I said, yes. He says, God is good, devil bad. And I, oh. One more time. God is good. Devil bad. That's good preaching. Amen. Okay, thank you. Bad grammar and all. God is good. I'm just supposed to say the, but when I say it with bad grammar, you listen more. It's just true. God is good. Devil bad. You see, why is that significant? Because your dad and my mom, see, we're all related. Adam and Eve. The devil came and actually said, no, God's bad. Because he's holding something away from you. You know, the Bible teaches it's the goodness of God that leads men and women to repentance. Repentance is a change of thinking, which leads to a change of life. That's why C3 is exploding, because we actually preach in the goodness of God. That God wants to bless you. That God wants to heal you. Come on, that God wants you to flourish. Come on, somebody. That God wants your marriages to get stronger. Come on, God wants your kids to begin to live into their destiny. Can I hear an amen to that? Well, how do you explain all the stuff in the world? How do you explain all that? I can't explain it all. That's why I turned to a God who I said, God, I'm still going to trust you in all of it. Number one, God is good. Jesus emphasized in the goodness of God. If you being evil, being good parents, how much more were you Heavenly Father? So he's saying it's good. But then number two, write this down. It's the only point I'm going to probably get. I actually got five in this message, but I'm not going to do all five. The second, come on, who said that? You know what I am now? You're just provoking me now. You probably eat KFC chicken too. I know you already. Yeah, I'm just saying. Don't go there. I'll cut you, man. I'll cut you so bad. I'll cut you. Okay, I'm in San Diego. I'm in a safe place. I'm in a safe place. Breathe. I'm in a safe place. Ah, here I am. Okay, I'm here. Okay, yeah. Some of you should laugh. It'll just relieve your blood pressure, I'm telling you. Yeah. Yeah, you actually are handsomer, too, when you smile. Ha ha, see that? Yeah, see? I'll get you. So you have to understand it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, but it's not just God is good, but God is a giver. Come on, our Heavenly Father is a giver. Can I hear an amen to that? He's actually a big giver. He said, how much more? Emphasis in the Greek, it's emphatic. It's like Jesus saying, how much more will my Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask him? It shows the desire of our Father to give. God the Father doesn't have to be manipulated into giving. It's his very nature to give. Listen to me. We're not trying to twist God's arm. We're not trying to listen. Listen to me. You serve and you give and you worship not to get God's attention. It's because you got God's attention already. Do you understand when you begin to give and you begin to tithe and you begin to give financially? Let's just go there for a second. Is that your Heavenly Father cannot help. It's his very nature that he cannot allow a man or woman to outgive him. It's impossible. God is a debtor to no man. He's a debtor to no woman. That's the way God is. His nature is, I'm a giver by nature. I gave, and I love this son, the world so much that I gave my one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to me. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Yeah, you better tweet me at Benny Perez on that. Don't take the credit. Listen to me. You could give without loving, but it's impossible to love without giving. That's why it said, for God so loved that he gave. The whole giving thing is never about you getting. It's about God, you saying to God, God, you got my heart. But when you give to him, God can't help himself. God just can't help himself. You want a single scoop, God is going to give you three scoops of ice cream. I'm serious. I'm telling you, I'm living proof. I'm Benny Perez from Pico Rivera, California. I'm Benny Perez. I'm the first Christian in my family. I'm the first university graduate. I'm the first pastor in my family. I don't come from a generation of pastors. I come from a generation of other stuff. Oh, yeah, organized crime. Oh, yes, there was some gang activity. Oh, yes, there was some stuff. But I'm here to tell you that God has a plan for your life, that God is good, that God is a giver. Don't matter your skin color. Don't matter where you grew up. Don't matter who your daddy was or your mama was. You got a good heavenly Father. Hey, 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 hey. You get tired of all the, well, you know, the white people are holding me down. The white people. Ah, the white people don't hold you down. I'm married a white person. Oh, and all this, and listen, all this racism. We will never solve racism through the White House, and God bless our president. The only way we're truly going to resolve racism is in God's house. It's in God's house. Come on, somebody, it's in God's house. You're my brother. You're my sister. I know what color you are. I know who you are. I know you where it came from. But in Christ, we are all one. Somebody's got to shout right now like, God, help me. Oh, yeah, I just did that. I'll do it again. I'm tired of us talking about limitations when you're created in the image of unlimited God. I know, ladies, I know there's a glass ceiling. Take your high heel off and shatter that bad boy in Jesus. Bam! I know what they say about you. I know what people think about you, but you got to get back in this book, and this is what my Heavenly Father thinks about me. This is what God says about me, and if God be for me, who can be against me, baby? Oh, no. God is backing me up. God has got my back. God's going to open up a door. I got a Heavenly Father that is good, and he's a giver. Woo! Well, you have to really yell. We could hear you just fine. You know you got three veins that pop on your forehead when you do that? Is there a doctor in the house in case he has a... You know, we do that, but when you watch FIFA World Cup, people are painting their faces like, oh, 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 and they score a goal. Goal! And grown men are running around with no shirts on. Screaming over a ball going into a net. And we say those are real fans. But when it comes to church, it's like they're being fanatical. They're being emotional. Oh, no, baby. Oh, no. Oh, no. Jesus did more than score a goal. Jesus saved my life.
It's not my personality. My personality, I'm Norwegian. We jump in the inside.
I see you in Vegas when I walk through the casinos and you hit a jackpot and you're jumping around. Because you really respond to what you value. I may not, and I will not respond to your wife walking into a room. But when my wife walks in, because I value her. Give. God's a giver. Who said that God's taking stuff away? Right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be. Could it be that the only things God doesn't add to your life is things that are not necessary to your life? May I just leave you one thought here as I got a minute 42 seconds? You have till 5. Only one person said that. And the rest of you are like, oh, God, please, no. Because the crazy thing is God has a divine appointment for you. Oh, yeah, I just pointed to you. Yeah, you. Just to you. I walked into the auditorium. I turned around. And God says, I love that man. I have a great plan for that man. I've been after that man. And honestly, I wouldn't mess with you. I wouldn't want to hurt you. And then you say, this guy, look, yeah, I took you out. You limp the rest of your life. I chew your ankle as you just beat me down. I just chew your ankle. You'd be walking like, Benny Perez, yeah, he got to me. So I don't know you. I don't know your story. I don't know anything about you. I really don't. But you have a Father, a Heavenly Father. Listen to me. I stop the whole service and they bring the music on because that means I'm supposed to be ending. But listen, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are with God or anything like that. But I just want you to close your eyes just right there. And I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. Father, I pray for my friend. You brought him today for a reason. You spared his life. You're doing something for a reason in him. There's a reason why, God, that I'm preaching and he's here. Pray, God, that you're going to visit him in dreams and visions, and you've been after his heart. Could I say it to you this way? Do you believe God's a giver? I was driving the other day, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Never heard this before. When I preached this, my wife goes, oh, my God, Benny, this... you need to write a book on this. And three other people said, you need to write a book on this. My creative team started getting together, strategizing a sermon series on this. And I'm going to say to you this, that I think the greatest gift that our Heavenly Father can give you is the gift of no. N-O, no. Society has taught us that no is a negative word trying to hold something back from you, to keep something good from you. May I submit to you that the gift of no is a wonderful gift from a good Heavenly Father. You need not to look at the gift of no from your Heavenly Father as a negative one, but as a gift of life. May I suggest to you that when God is saying no, it is because he is setting you up for something in the future that is better than the yes you want right now. I got to say that again. May I suggest to you that when God is saying no, it is because he is setting you up for something in the future that is better than the yes you want right now. In society, we have made no a negative, almost bad word, but I believe that when we can embrace no is when we can experience real life. I would suggest to you, if you look at your life right now, that I believe, for me personally, I'm standing on this platform because of more no's that I got than yeses. God said no. God said no. God said no. Reading through the book of Acts the other day, and Paul says, I'm going to go to this place in Asia, and the Holy Spirit said no. And then the very next verse, it says, and I want to go here, and the Holy Spirit of Jesus said no. Said it twice. And when you read just a few verses later, that's when he gets the Macedonian call. Two no's, one yes. Change the world. So God says, no. No, Benny, you're not going to get on staff at this church. Are you kidding me, God? I've served here 4 years, no pay. For reals? No. 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 You're going to go to a place called Apple Valley, California. Where is that? Outside of Victorville. That's hell. God sent me outside of hell. Victorville is kind of cool now, but it wasn't back then. go to a little, small little church, Benny. Oh, no, God, I got a worldwide call. No. And I had friends say, what are you going to go there for? You're so anointed. You're so called. You're so good looking. I know. Okay, I'm not that anointed. But I'm telling you right now. No. Okay, God, understand. See, we're okay with God saying no, aren't we? We're okay with the no if we know the reason for the no. We're okay with the N-O if we know the K-N-O-W. Okay, Lord, you said no, but I got to know why you said no. Because if I don't know why you said no, I don't know about the no, because I need to know about the no, because the no, I need to know, because they don't make the no seem better. So please tell me, because I want to know. Come on, let's be real. Come on, let's be real. Huh? You know what I've heard? I've learned about God. He don't tell me the K-N-O-W. Because if I knew the K-N-O-W when I got the N-O, there would be no trust or faith. So instead of me, God, I'm preaching, Ben, you were saying amen. Instead of me knowing the no, I should know the person who gave me the no. Okay, God, I know you're good. I know you're a giver. I know if you be for me, who can be against me? I know I have the plans that I have for you, says God. Plans to give you a future and a hope, not plans to harm you or to hurt you. That's what I need to know. Ooh, they're bringing reinforcements. It's the gang, man. It's the gang. I got you. Got you. Got you. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. That was over the top. Sorry. No, I'm being serious. I'm sorry. Because I don't use guns. I use knives. Watch this now. So here's what we do. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. We serve God until he gives us the no. And if he doesn't tell us no, like the reason why, then we get bitter, angry, resentful, not knowing that he's saying no now to set you up for a bigger yes in the future. January 4th of this year, we closed on a 90,000 square foot building. We bought it. It's ours now. You're all clapping, but at 7 years of no. 7 years. Wanting to quit, wanting to give up, our church in overflow, our church not being able to grow when you have 100 people sitting in the lobby and you're jam-packed. And you just can't squeeze anybody else in the building. And then all my friends are getting buildings. And they're exploding. They're growing. And there's Benny. Slugging it out. You know the thoughts that hit me? I'm a bad leader. And gosh, I can't do this anymore. And maybe she's throwing the towel. And gosh, Wendy. And then I found out something. Everybody else has their race. I'm not called to run theirs. Fixing my eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. Are you with me over here? The finisher. The finisher. Yeah, I know I'm going overtime, but you should have came to the 9 o'clock. Watch. Listen to me. You know who actually said, God, I don't understand. It was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Read the scripture. Lord, if it's possible, can you let this pass from me? He was sexually excruciating pain, but then he said, nevertheless, not my will. And let's delve into scripture just a little bit. It said this, if the realms of darkness had knew the plan of God, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. It was a setup. Because your no is about ready to turn into a big yes. No, they got one, two, three, third row right there looking at me, handsome guy with the blue shirt on. Yeah. You're not overlooked, you're not passed by, you're not everybody's going faster, you're not any of that. God says, I got you exactly where I want you. Keep your eyes on me. He's about to reveal something before this year is out. Things are going to be revealed to you. You're going to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. You know, when God kept saying no, 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 then God took me to a smaller place called Marysville, Washington. You've never heard of it. Smaller than Apple Valley. He told me nothing good can happen here. All the big stuff happens in Bellevue and Kirkland and all those areas. I said, okay, well, all I know is that God called me here. History will record that our little youth ministries grew from 27 to over 1,000 kids. Hold on. Every week, legit numbers, Wednesday and Thursday nights at Marysville First Assembly of God. And out of nowhere, God launched me around the world. People say, where did this guy come from? He's an overnight success. Can I tell you something? It was the longest night of my life. Are you hearing me? I mean, I gotta end. I've gone way too long. Can I tell you one story? Pastor Matt, can I just do one story? I didn't preach in Empower, so I might as well take that session I was supposed to do in this session too. Okay. And it's not that that's not negative critical, because if I showed up, I know Pastor Jurgen, he would have threw me in. That's why I didn't show up. I've been on a crazy road trip. I need to be with my kids. I was looking at a house to buy. It was a beautiful house. Overlooked the Las Vegas Strip. It was on a half acre of land. Olympic sized swimming pool, custom built in a tract housing development, but it was custom built. Pulte Homes is a builder. I don't know if they build down here or not. The director of Pulte Homes, they built it for him. And that's what I was going to buy. I'm like, okay, God, let's make this happen. This is good, good, good. And my wife said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And all of a sudden, it's like, we got no, 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 no. No. No, 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 no. I said, I rebuke you, devil. And it was no, no, no. I couldn't get out of my spirit. Because what I saw before me was like, okay, this is it, this is it, this is it. And I'm like, okay. And long story longer, somebody else came and bought the house, and I was devastated. No, I was, to be honest with you, I was devastated. Sat down at the slot machines. It's just, I don't understand this. Hit me again. This is crazy. No, I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, did you not? I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Really, I didn't. I wouldn't lie in the pulpit. Maybe out there, but I wouldn't do it here. But have you ever been like kind of depressed? Like, man, why, what? Come on, wait, it's real people. Are you like not depressed, but just like, just discouraged because you thought it was going to work out? You ever been there? So I'm driving, all right? My 1964 21 window microbus slammed to the ground. You've seen it, Tim. Come on now. I love it. I know you do. You want it. I know. 100,000, it's yours. Watch this now. I'm driving by, and on the hill, I see this awesome house. 6,455 square feet. A view of the strip that's closer than the one that I wanted to buy originally. And the Holy Spirit says to me, make a left and go up there. Just felt it in my gut. Drive up there. Gates open. No guard. That's when you run in. Just saying. If the gates close, you jump over. You know what I'm saying? Just saying. I know some people don't even know what I'm talking about. I know. You live in those communities. I jump over your fence. Watch. Just saying. It's good, huh? Who said so good? Isn't it good today? Yeah. At least I'm going to preach to you. You're smiling. That guy's bothering me over there, okay? We'll give you a word from the Lord for you, okay? I can't finish the story. I wanted to finish the story. Let's just... So I go up, and the guy, and all of a sudden, a for sale sign gets put right in front of this house. The builder went out during the recession. It's been sitting there for like 3 or 4 years. House is all built, sheetrock, but no kitchen, no, like, restaurant, all plumbed. Everything's in there, but it's just a blank slate. And like before the recession, this thing was selling for like $2.5 million. Like, so I call my friend who I invest with. He's my real estate guy that I do my real estate investing with. And I said, hey, Stan, this is number. Call. I told him where it's with. He said, no, that house. I said, Stan, it's for sale. I'm standing right here. There's a sign here. If you don't call, I'll get somebody else. He calls. He goes, oh my gosh, Benny. He goes, it just went up. It's just in the MLS today. I said, I know. Let's go in. I wait for you. He comes up. You know, walk through it. Real estate agent comes. And my wife comes up. She goes, oh my God, dude, I love this house. I'm like, all right. So we make a deal. Now, there is a show called Flipping Vegas. Have you seen that show? There's that couple, they have what they call, this is the name of the company, Goliath Company. It's Goliath. They got money, they got resources, they got a show. They wanted the same house I wanted. Goliath. I got to finish the story next year when I come back, but it's so good. I'm so over time, Pastor Matt. If I get in trouble with Pastor Leanne or Pastor Jurgen, it's your fault, sir. It's 12:37. I'm hungry. Are you going to take me to lunch, please? Okay, if you take me to lunch, okay, then I'll go still. Okay. Okay, you're not a liar. Okay. And it's going to be someplace in La Jolla. So watch. So the real my real estate agent says, these people are going after it. I said, the Goliath people? They got money. They got this. They got that. And we started a bidding war. I'm like, oh, no. God, you said no to me there and no to me there because this is my yes. I know it. And you, Goliath, you come to me like what with that, all that stuff, but I come to you in the name of the God Almighty. I come to you not with the sword, not with the shield, but in the name of the Lord of hosts. And this day, and this day, and this day, and this day, you see, when you finally get a yes, faith rises in your heart. When you get a yes, oh no, that building up to 78, that's our building, baby. We're gonna get that building. More reinforcements. It's okay. I fought that many before. They were middle schoolers, but I still took them down. That was when I was 40. Probably shouldn't tell you this, but what would it take for the Perez's to get it? And the guy said to us, said, you know, I got to be careful because if it ever gets out, but the favor of God came on us and they took our bid and we beat the Goliath company. Hold on. My wife then got to design it the way she wanted to do it. I became the owner builder. So I just cut out all the middlemen. I just went straight to the people myself. They're all like Hispanics. I'm just like, hey, let's don't laugh. Like, they do the best work. Just saying. Flooring guy, everything. Brought in Italian marble. I had a steam shower that could fit 12 people. I'm not kidding. It was massive. It was massive. Put in the most expensive DTV system. If you know anything about it, it's like plays music, lights, it's got shoots here, you know, put a Mozart on. I mean, it's like the Bellagio fountains. You're just shooting at you, you know, it's like, oh, no. Like exquisite home. Put in the walls, the doors that it's indoor, outdoor living. Oh, no, it was sick. I could lay in my master bedroom, and it had these massive windows, and you just see the glitter of all the Las Vegas Strip. Some celebrities, I won't drop their names, but they've been in my house. They go, I mean, this is like a house that we would like. Well, it could be yours. Price is right. And everybody asks me, how'd you get this? Well, Goliath wanted it. And I start telling the story. Now, here's where it gets crazy. Are you ready for this? The house that I really wanted to buy two houses before, and God said no, because I believe that the no's now, God said you for a bigger yes in the future. It's called The Gift of No. The book will be coming out next spring, so just make sure you buy it. Listen, the market starts soaring in Vegas again. And the Holy Spirit says it's time to sell. Hey, Stan, it's time to sell. What can we get for this house? Oh, are you sure? What happens when something goes in millions? It's at seven figures? There's six figures, it's hundreds of thousands, right? And then when you go to pass a million, okay, let's just suffice it to say, because I'm going to tell you, but by God's grace, we will make a profit over seven figures. Listen to me. Now, well, you shouldn't have told us that before the honorarium. But you want to sow into good seed, good soil. Listen to me. I'm a kid from Pico Rivera, California. Lindsay Avenue off of Washington between Rosemead and Passons. I'm not bragging you, tell you how much money I got. I'm just telling you that I wept and I wept, because what I didn't tell you is in the recession, I had to short sell my home and I lost $250,000. What God said is, I'm going to make that up for you and every of the loss that you ever had, and I'm going to top it off to blow your mind. Because for every no, it is God setting you up. Come on, somebody, for a bigger yes. Stand up on your feet and give God a big old hand clap. Come on, C3 North.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.